If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for Closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the living love, living light, and living word of the Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christs. This evening, our seminar topic is, how do we see spiritually? Recognizing the opened third eye and inner vision. So if you're ready, take a deep breath. And allow that radiant, pure, holy, divine essence that is your true self to occupy your physical body and flood your personal levels, your personal universe with enlightenment. Charge every cell of your being with living love, with the living word of the divine sound current, and with the living light. For these constitute your true essence, your immortal, true essence. Take a deep breath and own and occupy that. Right down into your toes. And now we're going to start with three beautiful hues. We're going to chant hue, H-U, three times. And as we do, this holy and very ancient name of the Supreme Creator is going to flood through all of your levels and bring a very clear attunement with spirit. So if you're ready, take a deep breath. You. You. Just allow that wonderful vibration to bring a pristine attunement spiritually and allow it to clear your mind so that the divine light itself, the inner sun of the beloved, can irradiate every part of your consciousness all the way through into the human brain. Allow your radiance, your enlightenment, your divinity to shine beyond the periphery of your physical form. Allow yourself to expand because your potential is unlimited. It only stops where you stop, where you stop learning, stop expanding, and stop growing. But I know none of you wish to do that. That's why you're listening. So tonight we're going to look at how we see spiritually and what is the third eye and how it manifests in our seership, in our inner vision. So first of all, ask for the Divine Spirit to bring forward for you whatever would be for your highest good. What would you like to see, know, and experience spiritually? Be clear about what it is that you would like to partake of spiritually. And know that as you ask, immediately you receive at the level or levels that you have available to host your request. Now, spiritually, you already have it. You already are it. In time space, your human personality and physical vehicles need to be readied to receive whatever it is you've requested. Your physical body, your astral body, your causal body, your mental and etheric bodies must all be aligned with you as soul and able to integrate the levels of awareness that you wish to receive. So have a look. How clear and aligned are you emotionally and mentally? Because generally it's the personal issues that you haven't cleared and resolved and made peace with within yourself that clog you spiritually to where you don't have that pristine attunement and clarity. At some point, we simply have to get over ourselves. We simply have to drop this fascination we have with problem-making, with the issues we make out of nothing. Nothing's happening. Nothing's going on. The only real thing in all of existence is you. You, as a divine, immortal incarnation of the absolute supreme Godhead. You are nothing less than God. Masquerading temporarily in a human role that you're playing in this incarnation, and you've played probably a gazillion different roles and other embodiments in time, space, or should we say immersions in the illusion field of samsara. So to begin with, we always have to start with where we are right now. So take a look at what you are seeing, what you are knowing, what you are experiencing spiritually right now. For example, I'm going to run through a whole bunch of different ways that you may be receiving spiritual information and may not even be aware of it. I will bring it to your attention, and obviously you'll need to listen to this seminar probably more than one time and take notes to really work with some of these areas if you choose to. You know, that's up to you. So, for example, do you tune in to the states of consciousness of those around you? Are you an empath or a sensitive? Do you feel things in your body or in your emotions? For example, when there's a pending earthquake or some other warble in the field, so to speak, do you pick up those energy shifts on a cosmic level, on a planetary level, on a physical level, on an emotional level? That would be an empath or an earth empath or a sensitive. Some of you pick up headaches or body aches or my feet swell. Some people feel dizzy. Different people pick up different energies in their physical bodies when there are things going on the planet or on different subtle planes surrounding the planet. Because just as we have all of these subtle bodies ourselves, the planet itself has these subtle bodies, which are called dimensions. So, do you consider yourself psychic? Are you clairvoyant? Can you see things that other people would find invisible? Are you clairaudient? Do you have an inner voice that you hear? Not in a, you know, crazy way, but do you actually hear that voiceless voice that speaks sometimes in your heart so loud that you think it's physical? Have you ever had that experience? That's called interlocution or locution, I think it is, interlocution or clairaudience, which means clear seeing, or excuse me, clear hearing. Or are you clairsentient, which means you can feel things that other people maybe can't feel? Maybe you can touch something and psychometrize who's had it before, what's happened to it. that would be clairsentiency, seeing, feeling, and hearing beyond what most people can? Are you a channel or a medium? A channel could be many things because we all channel energies. But in this context, as in a channel which would be serving as a medium, that's a person who either unconsciously or consciously hosts another level of consciousness that then speaks through them, delivers information through them. Like, for example, Jay-Z Knight and the Ram or Ramtha. She would be what would be called an unconscious medium. Then you have telepathy. By the way, as I do this show, I'm probably going to clear my throat a lot, because what happens is that we start clearing those of you that are meant to receive these things. And often it's signified by my clearing or the clearing of my voice. So that's part sometimes of the process of us working with you to get your own channels unclogged so that you can hear and experience spirit more clearly. So are you telepathic? That's where you can tune in to the thoughts of others before they speak. Very often married couples, particularly people who've been together for many, many years, say things at the same time sometimes. Or they know exactly what's on the mind of their partner. That's a very gross example of telepathy, but just to give you an idea. Are you an intuitive? That would be someone who can hear the inner voice of the inner master. It's another form, you might say, of divine guidance. And that comes from the intuitive level or the Buddhic level or the soul. Or are you one of these people that simply knows things without knowing how you know? That was my problem as a child, and I think probably many of you had the same problem, was I came in knowing all sorts of things that a young child would have no way of knowing. And of course, they think at that point that you're storytelling. That I remembered past lives. I remember coming here from another planet, very different from Earth. I remembered who I was and what I was and where I'd come from. Not by name, of course, but the sense of the knowingness was there. And many starseed have that experience. So do you have precognitive dreams where you see things before they're going to happen and then they happen? Do you see visions, night visions as in dreams, or waking dreams? Have you ever awakened to the fact that this is a dream, both in the nighttime and the daytime? Have you awakened beyond the dreams? Have you experienced deja vu? This is where you've been someplace and before, but you're visiting it perhaps this time for the first time, and you know it like you know your backyard. I definitely felt that way when I visited Paris. I knew my way all around Paris, and I began to understand French. So it was a very strong feeling of deja vu. I had that when I visited Shirdi, where Shirdi Sai Baba lived, which was Satya Sai Baba's previous incarnation. And I had been incarnated with him in my last life. But I had that strong knowing of that whole area. So that's an example of deja vu. Are you a visionary? Have you had an apparition of the Divine Mother appear to you or some other great saint or being? Do you have visions? Are you a futurist? Can you see visions of things before they present and manifest physically? Do you operate as a charismatic, spirit-filled Christian? Their language for the prophetic gifts would be operating in the word of knowledge, where suddenly you speak into someone's life something that you have no way of knowing, but the Holy Spirit does know. or the word of wisdom, which comes out of the heart of God? Can you speak the words of wisdom and knowledge? Do you speak in what is called tongues, the heavenly language that the Holy Spirit speaks through you when it wishes to prophesy without your knowing what it means? Or perhaps you have the gift of interpretation of tongues. Usually when someone is operating in the gift of tongues and they're speaking in the heavenly language in a church, there will be another brother or sister that can interpret what's being said by the Holy Spirit. Do you know the difference between the psychic levels of prophecy and the truly spiritual prophetic words? Are you a contactee? Have you been contacted by extraterrestrials to where you've been given visions or insight or knowing that you were imprinted with at that level, and then you come back with a message to humanity? Have you had a physical encounter with people from another planet or dimension? How do you receive your information? By inner vision, inner hearing, sensing energies, subtle physical sensations and touches, or simply knowing? And how does seeing spiritually differ from our physical vision? I think it would be very useful to perhaps hear from people who've been blind from birth, partially sighted, or have become blind after some years of being unable to physically see. I think they would be able to share some very good reference points for seeing in ways other than through the physical eyes. They've done some experiments with the brain, and it said that after 24 hours of being blindfolded, a sighted person, the brain of a sighted person who's been blindfolded for 24 hours will already start to show within the brain a, what would we say, an alternate coping mechanism to enable them to see in other ways than visual perception. Very interesting. Every part of the body is capable of seeing, as some of these special indigo children are revealing. They can see through their elbows and their cheeks and their feet and different parts of the body. How marvelous is that? We are a walking miracle, and we don't even realize it in most cases. So here I'm reminded of the fact that biophysical science, as well as esoteric science, has discovered that the physical eyes do not see an outer world at all. We see interpretations made within the brain, mind, and consciousness. And these are three different things, by the way. They function together, but they're three and distinct. So spiritually, we're taught by the most enlightened masters that there's no outer world at all. It is the Atma, the spiritual or conscious awareness, that looks out through our physical eyes and sees. And it is the inner light of intelligence itself that gives us vision. Okay, so we have two physical eyes that are our vision portals for us as divine spirit to peer into the third dimension and to also see the more subtle dimensions of the physical level, the physical dimension, which would be called etheric vision. And many of you have experienced this etheric vision when you see sparkles in the atmosphere, like little dancing dust particles that suddenly turn into brilliant little points of light. What you're seeing is the etheric prana from the sun, or the vitality globules, as they're also called. And some of you can see light around trees, or mountains or other physical forms. And this is what is still considered physical vision, but it's a slight extension and expansion of that physical ability to see into what we call etheric vision, etheric, as in ether. So how about your third eye? What is your understanding about an open third eye? You know, it's quite possible that your third eye could be open and you wouldn't even realize it because it's so natural and non-phenomenal. And I think most people think of the third eye opening to where you can see, how could I liken it? Where you can see supernatural phenomena, okay? We'll just leave it at that. And it's not that at all. The open third eye enables you to see reality, not phenomena. When you see phenomena, you're operating through the psychic center that you would call the Ajna center, or even lower, the psychic center in the solar plexus. So the difference between an open solar plexus and an open third eye is very, very different. For example, psychic vision always produces changing phenomena. Spiritual vision always presents as clarity and steady knowing. Psychic vision can cause confusion and more questions. When you're operating in the psychic field, it's very unstable. You can't tell what it's going to do. It's unpredictable, and it gives rise to confusion and questions because it's unstable. It produces those mixed feelings. There'll always be some fear, apprehension, spookiness, uncertainty. There'll be some form of mental and emotional disturbance when you're operating in psychic fields. There'll be agitation and disquietude to some degree. So it's a shifting field of energy, not stable, which gives an unpleasant feeling to it. Now, true spiritual vision or seership, or operating through the third eye, the real third eye, always brings clarity. There's always a sense of oneness and unification. There's always the signature sign of peace. There's always the other signature signs of love, freedom, joy. Spiritual vision reveals divine revelations, divine realizations, epiphanies, ahas, the light bulb goes on. And it's steady and unchanging. It presents your wholeness to you. It presents the big picture, the fulfillment, and direct knowing. So it's possible that you have all of these things going on at the same time. In fact, that list of things that I asked you if you'd experienced, I've experienced every single one of them. So I'm very familiar with how you can shift from psychic to spiritual vision in a nanosecond, depending on whether you're operating in the Holy Spirit or Divine Spirit, or whether you're operating out of the personal self and the ego. So we have to discern the energy that we're sourcing and that we are bringing through the instrument. Now, let me explain what the third eye is. The third eye is not a chakra. It is a state of spiritual attunement and integration. The third eye is formed when the auras around the pituitary gland and the pineal gland, the two auras, converge and intercept and overlap one another. which in the overlapping of these two circles of energy forms a third circle in the center, also called a vesica Pisces in sacred geometry. And it's that third center in the center formed by the two overlapping auric fields that forms the third eye. So it's actually a triangulation of energies which forms the central opening, which if you look at it in hyperspatial dimensions, it actually forms a pyramid. It is actually the convergence and integration of Atma, Buddhi, and Manas in Sanskrit. Atma is spirit, Buddhi is soul, and Manas is mind. So it's the integration of those three energies that forms the third eye. In the Christian parlance, it's called opening the eyes of the heart. Many beautiful praise songs that say, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to feel you." And I would add, "I want to be you." So as your third eye is revealed, it's by seeing, knowing, and being soul. It is spiritual awareness in itself, clear, pure, simply, naturally. It's basically loving vision, seeing through the eyes of your heart. And this occurs so naturally. It's part of natural spiritual unfoldment and initiation. So if you are an initiate of a spiritual traveler, your inner vision has already been opened. Your third eye has already been opened. So you only need to continue practicing your spiritual exercises and going in and out through that opening. Go in and out. That's called soul travel, or expanding your spiritual inner awareness. The process in the sound current lineages, also the Surat Shabd Yoga lineages, it's called Nirat. That would be watching for the light or the inner master. Surat, listening to the inner sound current, the living word. And Bhajan. Bhajan is singing the name of the Lord with devotion. Now, many of you are used to that if you're Sai Baba devotees, where we sing the bhajans and we chant. Basically, the bhajans are the names of God, and the chants are about the attributes of God. But what is really meant in the sound current lineage, bhajan goes from the outer chanting to the inner adoration of God. This would be what the Christians would call the worshiping God in spirit and in truth. That is the true bhajan. And it goes into the inner stillness where you're immersed in the divine presence in Paramananda, in supreme bliss. That's the true bhajan, not sitting clapping your hands with a group of people and singing songs. So it becomes more and more and more and more subtle. But sometimes you have to start. You start where you are, okay? So other masters may suggest that you meditate on a specific form, be it a yantra or a symbol or a flame or your chosen image, and listen for the inner om. But only the travelers can actually take you beyond the form into the formless God realms. So to be a spiritual traveler, you have to have the ability to take soul and establish it so it doesn't slip back into reincarnation. They have to have the ability to establish you there. And very, very few masters have that ability, because very, very few people have established themselves beyond the psychic and material realms. We're established in the physical realm. That's where most of us find ourselves. So a spiritual traveler has that ability to appear on the inner planes and work with you, and also in the outer planes, because you need a living master that can take responsibility for your karmic field and your spiritual life, and has the ability. And if you're ready for such a thing, it'll show up. As I often say, the master will appear when you are ready. And maybe you're ready and don't even know it, but you've seen that purple light appear to you. That's the spiritual master. Or you've seen the blue star or the blue light. That's the Mahanta. So, mystical traveler, Mahanta, masters of divine light and sound, the Ekmasters, these are all terms that describe a traveler, a spiritual traveler. So the major difference between meditation and spiritual exercises is that meditation is passive, where you sit, quiet your mind, hopefully, and wait for God. And spiritual exercises are active, in which you go to God. You move your awareness to where you would be. You move your awareness into those God realms by riding the sound current, using it as a vehicle to transport you beyond the mind into the levels of divine awareness. So in meditation, you sit and quiet yourself down. It's more of a preparatory approach to shift one's focus from outer distraction to inner focus and stillness. And, you know, it's great. It's great to relieve stress and high blood pressure and to enlarge and spiritually condition one's brain. Yes, the brain actually grows and is enlarged by meditation. And through meditation, one can be tremendously benefited on all levels, so it's very important. However, often that's as far as one gets. And you want to go beyond that. There's got to be something more, and you're right. And it's spiritual exercises, which are active, where you're actually going through that open third eye into the spiritual realms of reality beyond. And at first, they may appear as various types of phenomena, because when you leave the physical, you have to go through the astral, which is the plane of imagination. And then you have to go through the causal, which is the plane of emotions. And then you have to go through the mental, which is the plane of mentalizing and thought forms. And then you have to go through the great void, or the great abyss, as it's sometimes called, Mahasuna, the great field of inner darkness, which is the etheric realm, the great unknown. You have to go through all those levels to move into soul, which is the first dimension and plane of reality. Everything below the soul is a big mixture of illusion with a little bit of truth, but not much. Mostly it's illusion. Smoky mirrors and, you know, stage props and stuff. So we can work through karma and develop experience as souls. So it's useful, but it's not real. So at first, as you go through these levels, you'll have the phenomena. You'll see things. You'll hear things. There's a lot going on. There's lights. There's phenomena. There's worlds. There's stuff. But the higher you go, the less and less phenomena, until when you break through into the soul realm and beyond, there's states of bliss, but there's no things. You'll see less and less phenomena. The old saying is, if you still see it and hear it, keep going. That's not it. So we're going into the great mystery, the great unfathomable, that which we cannot speak about. There are no words to describe the divine, God, the absolute. The words fail. We can describe the demigods and the various aspects of God in the psychic and material realms. Most of us are going to be meeting all kinds of gods and demigods and goddesses and shaktis and different manifestations of the divine. But when you talk about the supreme sukhmad, the it of itself, that which is, beyond name, beyond form, beyond attributes, beyond anything that could even be imagined in your wildest. That's where we're headed. And it's always going to be receding because there's no end to God, and we are to merge not with that, but with the divine spirit of God, or the living word. We are to merge with the divine spirit. And that is attuning to the divine light and sound, which eventually dissolves everything that is of the falsehood around us and in our minds and in our experience, leaving the pure divinity that we've always been and have never departed from. So one has become one with the divine sound itself. One has become the light and sound of divine spirit. And there's less and less phenomena until there is only the divine present. Presence. The divine presence is present. And there's nothing that can be said about that. So the individualized consciousness unit that we call soul or jivatma or jivi is constantly and forever itself. And now it operates as a divine functionary, as an active co-worker with divine source. That's what we are now and always, is co-workers with divine source. Everyone listening to this is somewhere in this process of awakening to your true self and learning how to operate at divine levels as a conscious co-worker of divine spirit. So there's a great need for those who can see beyond this physical dimension and communicate. There's a great need for them to teach others how to do so. There's a tremendous need for those who've had direct, genuine spiritual experience to write books or to share their divine experiences in some manner with others. The spiritual path is one of love. It always comes through the Holy Spirit, which would be the positive divine forces. The psychic path is always one of power. Power would be the negative, egoic, or forces that we call Kal, K-A-L. So love or power, these are the dual forces man must choose between. Real power comes from pure spiritual attunement and integration, and it keeps replenishing itself, for it is unlimited. Psychic or egoic power will expend itself, exhaust and burn out, for it has limitations. The psychic power will always seek to control, manipulate, direct, and coerce others. It's the power that shouts you down, that always has to have the last word, that tells you what to do, that's bossy. That's the ego or the cow. The negative power. The third eye will never, ever open up until the heart is pure and one's intention is harmless. That's the real third eye, the spiritual eye, not the psychic eye or the psychic center. So psychic power comes from our own biophysical personal levels. Psychic power comes from our body, our mind, and our emotions. It has a tendency to pry into the personal lives and affairs of others. It intrudes, invades, snoops, and encroaches into the domain and privacy of others, usually at a level of consciousness. That's why if you look at cults, they always have a person that is trying to control, manipulate, coerce, and in some way dominate and limit the people in that cult. Beware. Stay out of those things. A spiritual traveler will never, ever, 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 ever will never intervene in your personal life. Trespass, that's the word I was trying to reach for, will never trespass on your personal private areas on any level. I don't care what level, never. My spiritual teacher, John Roger, who is a great spiritual traveler, would never tell you what to do. If you'd ask him, should I do this or that, his standard answer was, suit yourself. You're going to do that anyway, so suit yourself. He would never tell us what to do. So spiritual power comes from transpersonal divine spirit. And it is our own true self, our own Atma, our own soul. And spiritual power is non-manipulative. It allows each soul to be and to go the way of their free election. So a genuine spiritual master will always give you freedom. They will never prevent you from leaving their organization. For example, they'll never threaten you. So keep yourself free. So there is this third eye, and that is the dimensional portal through which we can see and enter dimensions beyond the physical. You are initially still seeing the dimensions of your own mind when you begin soul travel. In fact, soul travel is always within your own creational universe. Beyond that, you expand your awareness. But in the psychic and material realms, beneath the realm of soul, it's called soul travel, which is simply rearranging the atoms of the creations as you match your consciousness and move through those realms. You're moving in your own creations, your own universe. And these are what is called the psychic and material realms because they're mixed with psychic and material energy that is derived from human and devic manifestations. However, there will come a point at which one is able to break through one's personal universe and enter the transpersonal universes of divine spirit, which are called in the keys of Enoch the imperishable God realms. And these are pure and unmixed with matter or mind. Only the spiritual travelers or the Ek masters seem to know of these realms or have the ability to travel there and escort others there beyond the personal universes that we all have around us. Only such an advanced master has the ability not only to escort you there, but can assist in establishing your consciousness there with, of course, your own spiritual commitment and endeavor. So you can then progress onward and not have to reincarnate again and again. So you can make this your last incarnation. The spiritual travelers can take the soul home by the most direct path, which is by connecting you to the divine light and sound currents while you're in the physical body, which you then are taught to ride through the psychic and material realms into the realms of pure spirit beyond. So you are taught to identify where you are inwardly as you soul travel, as you move your inner awareness by the colors and sounds peculiar to each realm of consciousness. There's a whole inner geography and mapping of consciousness that you move through. You're taught to move through by the travelers. They have discourses that you study each month so that you're taught how to do these things. You're connected, so it's not possible to get lost. Your initiatory tone or special word or mantra keeps you attuned and connected to the divine living word and light currents, which can be the hue. You chant the hue. You travel in a perfect protection with the spiritual traveler at all times. And there are spiritual masters, spiritual travelers on every level of consciousness in every realm. They're all over the physical planet. They're men, they're women, all ages, all races, and you will be contacted when it's your time to connect with this path, which will take you home by the fastest possible route. So when you start to look into the third eye, you may see nothing at all initially. It's like walking from the phenomenal, bright, physical, brash world into the inner world where you're blinded by the light in there. You can't see until you adjust. So at first you may be looking at a blank, black screen when you close your eyes and look into the third eye. Or you may see a blue, purple, or other light. Or flashing light, like electrical flashes. This would be the sun, moon, and lightning realms that you're actually moving into as you see those electrical flashes. Or you may see simply a dark opening, but it's like an eye of a camera lens that starts to open. Or you may even see an eye, an actual eye. So whatever you see or don't see, just keep chanting your initiatory tone or your special word or hue and keep going wherever it leads you. It's simple. You chant, you watch, and you go with the light or with the master that appears. And you'll see the light or the light body of the inner master or spiritual traveler. So you'll always recognize the spiritual travelers or inner masters because of their pure, unconditional love. Pure love can never be faked. And love is the key to entering the God realms, because God is love, and love is truth itself. So when we become pure love, it is then that the secrets of the universe manifest to us, because we are then ready to see through the eyes of our heart. We are then sounding the correct frequency and vibrational call that the Lord comes and reveals his heart, her heart, its heart to you. And you become the mystic. And you eventually see God everywhere you look, which is what happens to a mystic. They see the good and the divine and the holy in all places and in all things. And they lose all of that sense of adversarialness. And they walk in a different dimension of reality. So every level of spiritual awareness and every form of spiritual expression and gifting is needed, is important and necessary. So discover your spiritual abilities and work with them, making them more and more fine-tuned and excellent as your loving made manifest. But do keep growing, keep expanding, keep improving, keep fine-tuning your awareness. But above all, beloveds, be faithful to doing your spiritual practice, your spiritual exercises daily. If you are an initiate of the spiritual traveler of divine light and sound, you'd rather miss a meal than skip your spiritual practice. For that is your daily bread, the very sustenance of your life, necessary for your own survival. So, do you ever get to a point where spiritual practices are not necessary? No. Not as long as you are in a physical body living on Earth. It's so easy to get trapped. So your spiritual practice is your grounding. It's your anchor point. It's your solid rock on which you stand, that time that you set apart just to be with God, to be with the divine beloved within you. So your spiritual exercises do become more and more subtle and part of your natural way of thinking and being. So they become what is called 24-hour-a-day meditation, because you never let go of that awareness. But even in that, you need quiet time to simply be in the presence. So you are able to maintain self and God-realized awareness all the time in that state, and eventually, without any interruptions, yet you function well as a human being. But now also as an awakened and divinely infused human being, or human. So it's very grounded. The state is very grounded and present. It's not goofy or spooky or wacky looking. You know, we look more normal and ordinary the more enlightened we are, which is odd. But that seems to be the way it is. So where does one start? You start right where you are. Start chanting Hugh, for example, or whatever you want to chant. Pay attention to what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're thinking, and begin to bring all of that into alignment with your highest and best nature. Whatever you do, do your very best. Make the simplest action conscious, and the best you can make it. Learn to do what you do for God. Then it becomes yoga. When you sweep the floor, do it for God. When you wash the dishes, wash the clothes, wash the dog, wash the car, whatever, do it for God. And then at the same time, you're washing and purifying yourself. Do everything in the name of God and for God. Notice when you're not being present, where you lose mindfulness, where negativity starts to enter in and mess with your mind and your emotions. Just stop and refocus and clear and recenter yourself. Chant the Hugh, easy way to clear yourself and attune to God. Or repeat your mantra and repeat it in your mind instead of thinking so much. Then when you do need to think, you will notice that there'll be much more power and precision to your thoughts. You'll become more efficient and effective in all areas of your life if you keep running that vibration of the names of God, your mantra, your special tone, your initiatory tone, whatever, in your mind instead of thinking. You know, there's really nothing to think about. You can move in awareness very effectively without thinking. But if you need to think to plan or strategize something logistically, then you'll notice you have a very clear, sharp mind. These simple mindful awareness approaches to life will enable your third eye to begin to operate naturally and normally in your daily life. Your actions will be aligned with spirit and on purpose. Your emotions will be clear, clean, honest, sincere. And what is so for you at the moment? What's going on with you at the moment? Your mind will be clear, precise, sharp, and creative. And simplicity and clarity are the signs of an open third eye. Clarity. Simplicity. You have what is called, an, I think, Buddhism, beginner's mind. Mind is very clear, lucid mind, clear mind, spacious mind. Spaciousness, as Eckhart Tolle calls it. You've made room. You've made room for that which is greater to enter your life. You've moved from a little pond, little stagnant pond of the lower ego mind, into the river of life that's ever flowing from the heart of God. And it sings your name, because you are the beloved. You are the love of God, gifted into time and space. You are a kiss of divine love upon the face of creation. You are birthless, deathless, immortal, ever pure, ever whole, and your holiness blesses this earth. Your holiness blesses the earth no matter what state you're in, because you can never be less than what God created you to be. We are made in the image and likeness of God, which is divine light, the living word, divine love, eternal truth, unchanging, blemishless purity, original innocence. All of these things are what you are already. They are what you possess. You've only become temporarily misidentified with thought forms in the material world, with mental images that you've placed around your holiness, and thought for a moment you were that. But the Holy Spirit has never forgotten who you are and resides within your mind and within your heart as your own conscience, as your own inner knower, to direct you ever back. And whenever you're directed to the truth of your being, you'll go, oh, that'll be such a relief. You'll feel a joy. You'll feel a peace. That is the way God speaks to you. The inner peace, the inner release, to a sense of inner freedom. So, this is a very precious, precious seminar that we're sharing with you. And I hope it's been helpful. I would encourage all of you to go for the highest and purest and the most loving, free, and joyful direction you possibly can in your life. It's all there for you. This life is incredibly precious. I would encourage you to make the best choices for yourself, and to live in the peace and the joy and the inner freedom that comes from knowing who you are and why you're here, and that you are a divine incarnation now and forever. So let's go out chanting three Anai hues. And this is another variation of the Anai, or the hue. Anai simply brings it into the vibration of one accord, where you and I are one. Deep breath. Namaste.